Welcome to the Shoot the Breeze podcast with your host Vinny, Rob and Nello. This podcast contains strong language throughout. Listener discretion is advised.
All right. Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 84 of the Shoot the Breeze podcast. And we're still in lockdown. Now we're going to be in lockdown for a little bit longer. Another 6 weeks, at least, I'd say.
With harsher Garda, we're not getting the Asher, go on, you're fine lockdown anymore. I think we're going to be getting the real questioning at checkpoints and stuff.
But what I don't get, right, is like they're now like talking about bringing in like proper mandatory quarantine for people arriving into Ireland, which should have been done fucking last year.
Exactly, a year ago. Like literally
a year ago. They're only doing that for people that have no negative tests or that come in from South Africa or Brazil.
Yeah, which is still, it's such a half-assed way of doing it. It's like, they see that another country has done away and it's worked, like Australia. They've seen that has worked and they're like, right, okay, right, let's do something like that, except let's not do what they did, because like their way like worked 100%. We don't want it to work like that. We want it to be like half-assed.
Yeah, but see, it's because we're still stuck with the EU, aren't we? So we can't...
Yeah, but we could still be like, right, well, unless like... And the thing is, they're still not talking about mandatory. Like, they're still leaving it up for people to, like, the contact tracing forms or whatever, that people, like, go home and quarantine in their own house. It's like, yeah, it's no, not going to be the same. No one's going to do this. It's not going to be like Australia, where you come off the plane and you get put into a fucking hotel room, like, you know, by and the cops.
God knows we're building enough hotels, lads. They should be able to have the space.
Yeah. Like, I just think it's just another Mickey Mouse government, like, you know, and just Mickey Mouse Ireland just doing things by like half measures. Like, you know, it's so infuriating.
It's very annoying. Yeah. It's so annoying because obviously we all know people that live in Australia or live in New Zealand or live in these places, and you're kind of going, oh, fuck, if we were just a bit more on the money, we'd be fucking grand now.
Yeah.
If we didn't value Christmas as much as a society and country, we'd be fine, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. It was all them Brits coming over. That's what done at Christmas. We were all down. I barely saw anybody over Christmas. So I don't know where all these people are going.
I saw very few people, like, apart from my immediate family, and I think I saw you, Nello. And that was kind of about it.
On Christmas Eve, I think I saw you Christmas Eve for about an hour.
Yeah.
An hour or two. Yeah, that was about it.
But I saw a great tweet about the 5th or 6th of January. It was like, send up a prayer for all those people who are only leaving quarantine now after arriving home from Christmas. It must be really tough.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Well, they're all probably already fucking home and everything.
No, yeah, definitely not.
Only people from Swords and Santry can really go on holiday now, because the guards are handing out fines to beat the band up in the airport.
Yeah, they're sitting at the entrance. I was having a chat with them yesterday because I was asking them obviously about moving. I was like, what do I need like to make sure that I'm not breaking restrictions or anything? I was like, I'll just have a letter, like, you know, from your landlord and with a contact number on it if we really need to chase it up. Like, and I was like, all right, grand, because they're just stopping everyone going into the departures road. Just two guards there with a car pulled halfway across the lane, and they're stopping everybody. Like, I sent six people to Boston yesterday.
Yeah.
Were they all essential, do you reckon?
Like, I don't know. I see a lot of people going to London that aren't fucking essentially traveling. Like, they're just not. Like, you're looking at them, they're all... Some of them are freaking flyers or whatever, and they're just like, they're going for business, like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. People that you sent to Boston, were they Irish or American?
Do you know? Oh, Jesus, there was only six. I don't even remember.
I was like, there's only six of them. Should be able to, like, tell me their names.
I know, but the thing is, you just let them, like, fucking check it and go. I think most of them were American. They were just Americans normally going home.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like,
they
six
have blue passports, don't they?
Yeah, six people, though. In like a fucking, like, it's just madness for our place. Like, that's just never seen. So this week, it seems to have taken a massive hit. Like, but
That's a very expensive flight for six people, to be honest.
Yeah, you'd want to hope there's a shitload of cargo on it, or else it's pointless. But that's another, the airport now is gone from, it's like every week you're like, God, I can't get worse than this. And then like the next week, it's literally getting worse than that every week. And you're just looking around going, how are we still here? Like, I don't understand how I'm still there. Like, it makes no sense to me.
It's getting squeaky bum time again.
Like, the government gave Aer Lingus money to keep us in a job so we could claim half the TWSS only to then be taxed on it and have to give it back. And now my tax credits for this year are highly impacted because I took the government's money. Whereas if I just was let go and I went on the dole, I wouldn't owe the government any money.
Yeah, I actually am owed money because I was 5 months on the scratcher.
So. Jesus Christ. My tax credits are gone down for 2021 by €3,500. So I can now earn less money before I go into a higher tax bracket, which is so lovely. Like, it's so strange. They gave this whole thing. It's like, here, we're gonna prop your company up without buying any shares in your company, without having any say in your company. And then we're going to get your staff to pay us all the money back, like, or bits of it back. And you're just like, what the fuck? It makes, I don't know, it makes very little sense to me, but I don't know. The people are paid way more than I'm paid to make these decisions, but fucking hell.
They don't care about you because they earn so much more money.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah, like when the pilots are on about being on 50%, and I'm like, oh, it must be nice to be still earning like $20,000 more than I earn. Oh. Must be tough.
Tough at the top, man, I'm telling you.
It is, but look, it's grand. All things are good. I'm in the middle of a move, which is its own personal fucking headache, but it's fun.
Moving over to the south side.
Moving over to Lansdowne Road, going to camp.
Well, here, listen, right, pitch. Like, because this is only like a short term move, like, how much stuff are you actually taking?
I kind of see, I'm renting anyway, so I can't really leave at. So I have to just kind of take everything.
See, I thought the place that you're renting is like your folks' own.
All you really need is a laptop.
Yeah. I'm kind of moving everything because I've never actually done, like, the last time I moved was like 8 or 9 years ago to this house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in 5 months, I'm going to have to move probably again. And I'm like, I may as well know what it takes to move this time. And then I'll know where all my shit goes and all. Like, it's not, I don't have loads of stuff. I don't have loads of furniture or anything. Like, I just literally, I have my desk, my fucking computer. And I just have, like, obviously a few guitars and record players, shit like that. Like, it's not, I don't really have a lot of stuff. I've loads of camera gear and bits like that. So I have to move all that. But that's already packed up. Like, so, I mean, it's not like, it's not a mad stressful move.
Does your brother have to get a tenant now for your room?
We'll have to. I assume they're going to have to, but I don't know. That's what I'm leaving behind. All that stuff is now in the back of my mind. I'm in Sandymount mode now, Nello. I'm going to be having fucking flat whites walking up and down Sandymount Strand, you know, within my 5K and, you know, talking to the seagulls and starting to call everyone like Bartholomew and Joshua and all this kind of stuff.
Seagulls are dickheads, so.
Yeah, just breathe in all that fine incinerator air.
Yeah, I can't wait to breathe in all that stuff from the pool bag towers and all that shit. Like,
And the incinerator that's right there, so love.
Yeah, I'll be getting the dart to Sea Point Beach every morning to have a little dip.
In my dry robe.
The guys I'm moving in with were like, you have a dry robe, don't you? Because you can't live here unless you have a dry robe. And I was like, I know. I would want one though. All the lads, all our airmates have them now.
They do, I saw a photo of a load of them rocking their dry robes.
And they're all hard lads as well.
Yeah.
All the hard lads with their dry robes.
Yeah.
Actually, my brother got this deadly thing for sea swimming. His girlfriend got it for him for Christmas. It's like called like a turtle shell backpack or something. And you take it off, you have all your gear in it. And then when you take it off, you actually can stand on it on the beach. So you stand in it and it keeps all your shit warm and like your feet dry and everything. And it's just a really fucking smart idea. But
that's yeah, idea. I say there's some amount of fucking shite to do with sea swimming now and stuff like that has come on the market in the past couple of months because it's just
people are buying
the new thing to do.
Everybody does it.
Yeah, David McSavage took the piss out of your day on his Instagram and it was actually very funny. He was just like saying, like, he's like, you don't see people in fucking Italy and all, do you? Saying, oh, I went for a swim this morning on their Instagram. No, you don't, because it's fucking nice over there. He's like, it's not a big deal if you go for a swim. You just swim every day over there. He's doing all this.
Yeah.
But I know, like, look, leading to it, everyone seems to be enjoying themselves out in Port Marnock Beach, but I like doing it, but I don't do it as often as I probably should.
No, but, I'll do it during the summer. Yeah, I might dip my toe in during the summer, but that's pretty with the
whole. You won't do shit.
Yeah, probably not. Like, who am I kidding? Like,
I actually do like Sea Point. Sea Point's good because there's no.
I hate the beach. So
yeah,
that's the thing. I hate sand and all that shit. It throws my tits in.
Sea Point is just concrete for all them lads out in Dunleary to get their boats in. So it's grand. You just walk straight down a ramp and you're in the sea, and then you just get back out again.
Yeah, see, I might do something like that. Like, but yeah, going to the beach to get all sandy. Ugh, don't like it.
I do not enjoy sand.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of sand.
I never have. I used to hate the beach when I was a kid. I can't stand sand. It does me head in.
Yeah, I much prefer just to be.
I like the beach more now. I used to hate the beach, but now I like it more as I get older. Which is strange.
It's because you can sit by it like the old man you were born to be. Just sit there, taking in a sunset. Listening to the waves.
I suppose I haven't been on a beach in a warm country since probably a year, just over a year ago. And that was in Dubai, which means they probably bought in the sand or they made it themselves.
the sand was actually from Port Marnock.
Yeah, it was that good. It was that good sand in a nice climate.
Yeah.
You know? That stuff doesn't piss you off.
I can't see, like, even getting away. Some people were trying to say, what do you think? Do you think by the end of the year we'll be going on holiday? And I was like, I really don't think we're going to be going. I think the less optimistic we are about this, the better it is for your mental health.
Yeah. And it is mental. Like, a mate of mine is getting married. Two mates of mine are getting married away. And one is for May or June time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, boy, I don't know. Like about a month ago, I was like, "Hey, that'll probably go ahead." And the more it's kind of as the weeks go on, I'm like, "I actually don't know. Like, it's going to be a tough one now to move it again." Like, you know,
I don't know whether that'll be a go of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was supposed to be going to one in August. Over in the UK, and I don't even know whether that's going to be a go for us.
No. Yeah, the other one that I'm meant to be going to is in September, I think, or something. So, but yeah,
it's in mine and Rob's interest for people to fly.
Very much so.
But if they don't do it, it is what it is.
Being around the airport the last week doesn't seem like anyone's going to go anywhere, and it is getting its squeaky bum time again, as Nella was saying. Like, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's move on to something else. I've been watching this Tiger Woods documentary. HBO thing. It's on Sky. Mm. It's like 2-hour-and-40-minute parts. It's fucking very good.
Is it good?
Mm. Yeah, it's very good.
I'll be watching after this.
Yeah, there's two parts now. It's nearly 4 hours worth of a documentary. But it's decent. I'm just on the set. I think there's only two parts. I'm on the second part now, like an hour into it, and it's all going through his fall from grace with all the affairs and stuff like that. Like, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
strangling hookers and crashing.
The first episode is all just about how unbelievably brilliant he is, like, you know, and just how incredibly talented he was, like. When he first came onto the scene, like winning like 3 amateur titles in a row, like, and the most or that and that any amateur has ever won, then turned pro when he was like just 20 or something like that, or 21, and then he's gone on to, I don't know how many fucking majors he's at now, like, you know. But it's just, yeah, it's insane. It's mental watching just how good of a golfer he is, like, you know, how good of a golfer he was.
Yeah, his dad kind of groomed him into that position, like, didn't, like, as he was a kid, like 2 and 3.
Oh, yeah. Like, when he was a toddler, when he was like 10 months old, his dad was saying that he would take him into the garage, sit him up in his high chair and sit him in front of him while he's just like swinging and hitting balls into like a net into the garage. And then he would, when he was a baby, then he would only eat, like, he would only have his bottle or whatever if he was in the garage watching his dad swing, like, you know. As soon as he could, like, stand up and, like, have a golf club in his hand, like, it was, yeah, mental.
Do you get the feeling now that you have a kid?
That's what you need to be doing.
But do you
Do
you have that, like, the feeling of, like, if I start doing things now, would it have an impact? Or,
I'm after watching this, I'm like, fuck, right, okay. I'm going to start sitting in front of, like, a Bloomberg terminal.
Here, that's no use at the moment. Yeah, have you not seen what's going on in the stock market at the moment?
What?
So Reddit, there's a group on Reddit that have been like, they're like a bunch of
the GameStop thing?
Yeah, they're a bunch of day traders. And yeah, they've driven up the stock in GameStop from like $4 a share to like fucking $350 at the latest today. I was looking on that Revolut thing earlier on, and it's at like $312 or something at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's basically, all the experts are like, oh, don't worry, it's just a bubble, it's going to burst and all. And then Reddit, like, people just keep jumping on Reddit on text chains being like, oh, don't worry, we're not going to let it burst. We're just going to drive that bitch up and down. It's just going to keep going. And apparently it's still, so everyone's like basically shorting it. So all the major players have shorted it. But I've literally only seen it today, and I was reading up about it. Like, so everyone's expecting it to fail. And it's just gone. So, like, from here, it's gone like a year ago or 5 years. It's gone from like $26 a share right down to like $280 a share. And then now it's at like fucking $323 a share.
Wow.
Unreal.
It's mental.
You'd be fucking delighted if you got in like at the low end, like before all this stuff, you know,
at the right time. But like something like GameStop is like essentially gonna be like, it's an extinct kind of company, like, so it's just strange they picked GameStop to do it with.
I wonder what the reason for doing it was.
Like, I think it was just to piss off the kind of the pros and all.
Yeah,
I think they were just like, fuck this, if you think you can control markets or whatever, we're going to show you is that it's all based upon nothing, and we're just going to drive this price through the roof, like. And I saw something, Elon Musk got involved in it or something.
Oh, really? he's a good man for jumping on a bandwagon, like.
Yeah, Reddit and Elon Musk sparked a GameStop stock surge. Why AMC and BlackBerry are next? Holy shit, quick, buy fucking stocks on AMC, they're like $15. This is what it's doing, though. It's making people like us going, oh, I've got like a Revolut trading account that I can just be like, oh, I'll just grab that. But
Buy shares on Revolut?
No, I bought Ethereum last week just for the crack.
I bought that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so I bought it and I was trying to make it a risk-free. So I was like taking 10 out of it, 15 out of it, and it's still at 100. I bought 100 and it's still at 100. So I'm like, I don't like to fuck around too much with shit like that. So I just kind of dip my toe in and just see what happens without consequences, without terrible consequences. But yeah, you'll have to have that ticker tape, Vinny, installed in your gaff, you know, like the one that goes around Times Square with all the NASDAQ numbers on it. He's not allowed to get his
ball. He'd just be watching Bloomberg the whole time anyway.
I do, yeah. I do watch it a lot. Like, yeah.
Buying all them shares.
That's gas. Get it in.
I don't know. I'm not huge on the whole picking stocks.
I don't have a clue.
I don't mind buying a little bit of like crypto every now and again, but I wouldn't be spending stupid money on it.
I don't know. Like, are you still in your Bitcoin? You still have it?
I still have a bit. It's dropped a little bit today now, but yeah, I still have it.
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Ethereum's doing all right.
Yeah, I just got that Ethereum. Like, it hasn't done much, like, since I got it. But I'm just holding on to it just in case it does go in the same way that Bitcoin went. And, like, at least if I'm in for €100, I might get a grand out of it or something. But that's, again, it, like, I can't let it take a hold of me. My money would be gone.
No.
All that lovely money that I have from my job this year.
Exactly. And me and you probably need to be a bit careful with the money now.
We need to be very frugal.
We might have the pup again in no time.
I mean, that's the issue. We'll be starting to do sponsorship ads for the Shoot the Breeze podcast.
Just put a video in every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Some fucking advertising.
We'll start calling the Tree Lads on the Scratch.
Stop.
Oh, that's gas.
Hopefully not. Hopefully we're all right.
We'll be grand. We'll be grand. Sure, it'll be grand.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, lads. AMC has gone up quick.
It's up 258%.
I know. I only activated that account today to try to get some of the AMC stuff. But my application is being reviewed. Come on! It's going, it's skyrocketing right before our eyes. Oh God. Imagine
you need to get on that shit.
Literally, just looking at it right now.
It's a pyramid scheme, apparently.
Who gives a shit? Sell when it gets to a good height you're happy with. And then forget about it.
Yeah. That's it. Sell when you've enough to retire.
So, sorry, going back to that, Vinny, is the Tiger Woods thing, is that done like the Michael Jordan documentary? Kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of, except it's only like, it's only, it's like, it's more so, there's no interview with him. It's basically talking, it's with people that are like associated with him, like they have his caddy on and stuff like that, and then it's just all old kind of video, like all old interview footage and stuff like that, and then there's interviews that they do have are from kind of other journalists and stuff like that, you know. There's not it's not like him sitting down in front of a camera, like, you know, chatting like about it.
It's not like what's it called, the advertisements for people, like it's actually other people talking with him, because I know some people always agree to documentaries just to kind of be like, look how great I am. So I wonder if he has given any blessing on it or whatever.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, like I'm not entirely sure if he has or not, like, you know.
Yeah. Interesting though. I think I just literally cancelled my fucking entertainment for Now TV, but I have to get it back now to watch that. Because I'm in the middle of watching my new place.
What are you watching?
Because I have it for sports mainly, and I'm just like, I'm getting sick of watching Liverpool be shit at the moment.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Can't be fucking dealing with it.
It's not a lot of fun. It's not a lot of fun.
It feels like I've gone back 3 or 4 years, and every time I go into work, it's like getting shit from other people.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I was on this, like, 5 months out of work, and they were winning the whole time when the Premier League came back. Couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. I mean, it's not unsolvable, but it's also, at the moment, very, very frustrating, because United fans are having a good laugh at our expense, and it's...
I know.
Oh, it's insufferable.
But look, now we have the Six Nations in just over a week. A week away, next Saturday. Wales is the first game, isn't it? That's actually, that's a must-win game. And because if you don't win that, you're knackered, pretty much. We're going to be in trouble if we don't win that game.
Yeah, I think the country needs something to latch onto for a few weeks. So that might be what we...
I know. But Ireland aren't in a good place rugby wise at the minute.
No.
Like France and England are quite strong. And even Scotland can do a job if they show up.
Yeah, are we still going through that kind of transitional period after Schmidt? Or is that
kind of... Yeah, definitely.
They've transitioned to shit. That's what's happened.
From Schmidt to shit, the Irish rugby story.
That's a great... That's good, that. I like that. And he's not wrong, Ben, is he? As the rugby man.
You're not, like... It's the provinces are doing okay, like, you know, we're doing all right in Europe with the provinces, but like the team that he's picked there's no fresh faces, like, you know, it's all very much of the same, like, you know, so it's kind of like, how is he going to turn this around, you know, or is it because he's got more time with players, or is he not trusting of the new blood or whatever? So he's mm-hmm. picking like a lot of people that he's picked, like, you know, to play. They're not, like, you know, they're legends, like, you know, they're a good team, like, it is a good team, but it's not like if he's trying to rebuild an Irish team from the ground up and stuff like that, you know, he's picked Johnny Sexton as captain, which was like, it's like, okay, yeah, Johnny Sexton still is like a brilliant player and stuff like that, but, you know, like, are we going to give any new players a chance? Like, you know, are we going to blood any new players on the international stage? I suppose that's the kind of big question.
Has Paul O'Connell joined the coaching staff?
Yeah, he's joined as a forwards coach. So yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to see how he gets on over the next kind of couple of years, like, you know.
Yeah, because I do like him. I think he'd be a good addition.
Yeah, I think he will as well. Like, you know, he's a fantastic player, and he's a fantastic motivator. Like, you know, so
yeah.
I think he
well respected as well.
Yeah, hugely. Yeah, massively. Like, so.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd say he'll do well. Like, you know, he definitely will have the respect of the players that are there, and then players that are coming up as well. Like, you know, he'll definitely have the respect of that. Like, and he's got a lot of experience. He was coaching over in France and stuff like that. So he has experience as well as coaching, you know. So I'd say he'll fit right into the Irish setup as well. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how he gets on.
I was going to say that, like, what's the, like, in football, it can be a quick transition sometimes from like ex-player to coach. And obviously we've seen this week, sometimes it doesn't work out with Frank Lampard at Chelsea. But like, what's the story with the likes of someone O'Connell's kind of age becoming an Irish head coach? Is that a 10, like within 5 years kind of thing? Or did you put your time in more so in rugby?
It kind of depends on... for him as well, you know, he's starting off as a forwards coach. Like you said, same with Leo Cullen, like started off as a player and then went into the Leinster setup as a coach and then has been the head coach at Leinster now for the past while. Mm. He brought on Stuart Lancaster, who was the head coach at England, like, you know, as his number two. So he's got Stuart Lancaster's wealth of experience to kind of tap on, like, you know. And he's doing quite well in that role, like, you know. So could Leo Cullen step up to become Ireland manager? He's doing great stuff at Leinster, like, you know, and has been for the past number of years, like, so there's a possibility there. Like, Paul O'Connell is just going into the Irish setup, so yeah, I don't know, it's all up for debate, I suppose. And
yeah,
I suppose it is a very results driven kind of industry, like, you know, so it'll kind of have to see how the scrum performs and how the forwards perform in this Six Nations, and then over the kind of any kind of games we get during the summer and autumn internationals and stuff, you know, if O'Connell is at the helm there, like, you know. So it'll be interesting to see
how it goes. Yeah, no, because I was just saying that because, like,
yeah,
with the football this week, like, Lampard getting sacked out, it's no surprise Chelsea fucking hire fire managers. Like, they probably changed their menu in the fucking kitchen, you know, like, they just,
yeah.
So I'm not surprised by it, but like at the same time, it's like you'd like to see managers be given at least 3 to 4 years to implement their stuff, I suppose, when it's a multi-million euro business.
I think Wayne Rooney's probably doing it right with Derby. He's cutting his teeth in a lower league, and they're not fighting for top four in the Premiership, you know.
Yeah, well, that's Lampard tried to do that for 1 year. Like,
did Nolly Gunnar? He was United manager for a while. Got let go, got sacked, and then they took him back.
Solskjaer.
Yeah, wasn't he in charge for caretaker manager for a little while, and then
I don't know if he was. Doesn't ring a bell. He might have been on the staff because it was Giggs. Then it was Giggs, wasn't it? And then that was the whole give it Giggs the end of season fella. And then it was all like the likes of fucking, what's your man? I can't think of Van Gaal and Moyes, Van Gaal, Mourinho. And then unless he'd done like a week or two in the middle of Van Gaal and Mourinho or something, but I don't remember it. But it's obviously working well for him at the moment. But I think he's just like, I don't think he's getting, like, I don't think he's terribly lucky, but I think a lot of his fucking players are firing on all cylinders. And I don't know if it's his man management. Oh. Or...
Yeah, he was the manager of Manchester United reserves. And then he went to Mold, and then he went to Cardiff. Got sacked in Cardiff. Went back to Mold, and then came back to Manchester United.
Yeah, got relegated in Cardiff.
Yeah,
it's a funny one, coaching. I don't know, like, especially in these, I'd say it's harder to coach these days because I'd say players are fucking so much this, like in, you know, you're looking at like 360 kind of deals with footballers now where they're more concerned about what boots they're wearing and like how much they can possibly make in their entire time that they actually play than like whether they actually care about they play for anymore. So I'd say it's a hard old job these days. Lads tweeting in the locker room.
Yeah, well,
during fucking team talk.
Because all you're getting really at the top of your game is probably on average 3-4 years.
Yeah.
You know, where you can make good money, where you're in a position to negotiate with the club on your terms. Whereas everyone else is just like, yeah, we'll give you this amount of money every week, which is still ridiculous. It's great money. But you're not in a position to argue with them. Yeah, like Pogba, that fella, I don't know how he keeps managing it, but I'm sure he's on stupid money. And he will continue to be on stupid money.
Who is that?
His Pogba. Agent is good. Pogba.
Oh, he's a fucking, his agent is a snake, an absolute snake.
Yeah, he's a snake, but he's obviously good at what he does.
Yeah. You making know? All the lads money. It's interesting. It's crazy to, I still can't get into sports without the fans. It's still, I don't know what it is, if it's a psychological thing with me. It just looks weird watching them playing to empty stadiums, and it looks like training runs. Like, it just doesn't, it's like we went to see, you know, it's reserves play Sunderland one time, and it was just an empty stadium. There was like 50 of us there watching it or something, because we were all up in Sunderland, and it's just such a weird experience when you can hear people. It's cool when you can hear them talking on the pitch and all, but like, I just don't feel like there's any reaction with the crowd not reacting to the goals and stuff. It's just not great. Like,
no, you're right. But when you're there in person, it's better.
Mm.
You can hear things and you can kind of watch it. It's like watching a game down the park. Yeah. But just better footballers. Whereas when you're watching on TV, you want the atmosphere.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully Liverpool pick it up anyway. With a bit of fucking luck.
Yeah.
Give us something to brag about again.
I hope Ireland. If Liverpool and Ireland perform well in the next 5-6 weeks, I'll be happy. It'll make lockdown a lot easier.
That'd be great.
You know?
It will give us just something to watch.
And
did you watch the NFL actually? Yeah, I know we don't have a lot long left on this El Recordón, but did you watch the NFL games? I watched
I watched a few highlights.
I watched Tom Brady, man.
So who's he playing for now?
He's playing for Tampa Bay, and so he's gone to a different it's a different division, and he's now 43 years of age, I think, and taking another team to the Super Bowl. Like, it's nuts, but it's your man Mahomes that's the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, though. He's tipped to be the next kind of, you know, the next kind of only player who could potentially challenge Brady's kind of legacy now, because he's been to one. This is his second Super Bowl in a row. Like, so it's going to be an interesting Super Bowl. I think that's on in 2 weeks or a little under 2 weeks now as well. So that'll be another thing to kind of hopefully get excited about watching. But
I'll probably I'll watch most of it. Depends on how late it goes.
Yeah. It's in Tampa Bay. It's the first time a team have played a Super Bowl in their home stadium. So I don't know whatever way Orlando works, Tampa down that way. I think that's Tampa Bay, isn't it? So whatever way that works, they'll timing might be a bit nicer to us. Not like Connor's fight the other night. Did you any of us watch it?
Oh no.
I didn't watch it. I'm
glad I didn't.
No. Looks like
stay up till whatever 5 a.m. for a second round knockout, like
got his ass handed to him. In fairness. But
when you have $100 million in the bank, you really need to be scrapping.
You really don't. You should fight Pacquiao now and just get another $50 million.
The fella you're fighting wants the money more than you do.
Yeah. Did you watch his build up to the fight and all? It was very strange for him. He was like very gracious and like very nice and stuff to your man Poirier. And I was like, unless he was trying to do that as a mind game in itself, like, because I know.
The thing is, I think he's just like, he can't back up all the shit talk anymore, you know? And I think that's the main issue. I think he's like, he's got smacked a couple of times now, like, you know, and he's got a couple of losses, like, you know, so he's not walking around like the cock of the walk with that he's undefeated and all that stuff. Like,
he has a lot of businesses now where he can't be going around punching outfits and bars and throwing smashing up bus windows and stuff like that. He needs to try and rebrand himself to be a bit more, well, gracious and kind of decent human being.
Yeah, no, yeah. All right.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm that cheerful now.
Yeah, that's it. didn't watch it. Glad he got his ass handed to him. And yeah, move on.
until another week in lockdown.
Exactly. No. Exactly.
Another week.
All right, well, we'll leave it there for this week. So thank you very much for stopping by and checking out this week's episode of the Shoot the Breeze podcast. Please do not forget to subscribe and leave a rating wherever you get your podcast fixed from. And until next week, we will chat to you then.
All right, peace out.
Bye-bye. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.